Rod.
Robin.
Is that you, my old press junkie buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm really good. I watched this movie exactly as you told me to, and I actually cried at the end, so there you go.
Good. Well, that's the proper effect, I would think.
Oh, man.
Proper effect. Yeah.
Beautiful film. You had, I have to tell people, you had three of rock and roll acting royalty kids in this. Scotty Wood, Milo Gibson, and James Jagger.
Yes, and you missed a couple.
Wait, who else?
Well, Alan Alda's grandson plays Scusa, and Richard Attenborough's grandson plays Faulkner. So at the beginning of the film, is caught smoking dope. So we had five. That's what we should do with a poster. It just says, Eastwood, Gibson, Jagger, Attenborough, Alda,
I don't think that was intentional.
No, it wasn't. It was completely unintentional. Every one of those was unintentional. Nobody was picked because of their dad. Although, I met Scott Alda Coffee, because I had worked with his grandpa on a couple of films, Alan. And Alan asked me to meet with him, and then I found out that he's a dog sitter, and so he became my dog sitter. And then I realized what a good actor he was, and we cast him in the role. He perfectly portrays that guy, Scusa.
Oh, I love it. So what was the set like? I mean, it seems like everybody absolutely adored each other on this set, that all the guys just, because they were at war, but also I feel like there was great chemistry.
Well, Robin, I put them all through basic training together. And, having done that myself, or versions of basic training, I can tell you that there is nothing that builds camaraderie more than suffering together, overcoming together, And almost all of them stayed in the same hotel. They had the same, they drove in the same van. They spent all their time together. And, a lot of them caught hell from the military trainers. They propped each other up. They became very, very close friends. And so, we created our own unit there. And the end result is what you see. It looks like a cohesive unit where the guys love each other and hate each other at the same time.
So during boot camp, who fared the worst and who was the best?
Well, I don't want to say who fared the worst, because that would just be humiliating to those people. But more than a few people came up to me in tears. I mean, these are actors. They went to schools like, Juilliard and Carnegie Mellon. They didn't go to West Point. They didn't go to Annapolis. I think that the people that fared the best were the people that actually had served in the military. I hired several veterans. But I will also say that Caleb Landry Jones, who plays the Medal of Honor recipient, Carter, he really took to this. I mean, he took it very, very seriously, which he needed to, because when I first met Caleb, who I'd seen in the movie Get Out, and he was in Three Billboards, he wasn't exactly like military material when I met him. He had hair down to his ass. He was skinny like olive oil. I sort of think he was one of the few guys that had a nice celebration the day marijuana was legalized. And for him to become sort of the stud of the unit was pretty extraordinary.
So take me through, the paces, no pun intended. Like, what was, a typical day like for these guys when they were training?
Well, they woke up in their hotel in Sofia, Bulgaria. They were taken in a van to our location where we were going to shoot. It was, deep into the country. And they would be equipped with their weapons, equipped with their blanks, and our military trainers, a guy named Jericho Denman and Ray Mendoza, put them through the paces, like they were going through basic, and it was exhausting. Like it was 8 hours constantly on the move, constantly, you know, being harassed. And it's true, Robin, that you know, one of them sat down with me, and it was so sad because one tear was coming out of his left eye. He was trying to prevent it from coming out, and he said, "I don't know that I can do this." And I said to him, "Look, I don't want you to become a soldier. I want you to know what a soldier feels like, especially at the beginning of his career when he doesn't know what he's doing. What you're experiencing is what these guys experienced." And so it was very touching, actually. But I also told him, "Look, you finish this, and it'd be the proudest thing you've ever done." And it was.
I love it. I love it. There's a line I have to ask you. Orlando Bloom says that he checks in every single day, I think, with his mother and his fiance. Was that? Did he add that in there? Is that just ironic?
Oh no, he did not. That was in the script, and that was true. That was absolutely true to the character. But I did notice that Orlando was checking in with his fiance every day, and so maybe he was adding real life to what this character was going through.
Oh, that's great. Speaking of dogs, broke my heart. Yes. This dog, was that your dog?
No, it was not my dog. In fact, my dog is literally right next to me, and my dog has fared much better than the dogs in Afghanistan fared. Dogs in Afghanistan do not fare well. Dogs are more respected in the United States of America than they are in Afghanistan. In fact, the guy who adopts the dog in our movie, that's the guy that is Alan Alda's grandson, Scott.
Oh, did he? Were you able to, like, keep this dog, or is he a movie dog?
He's not a movie dog. They don't have movie dogs in Bulgaria. They're just regular dogs, and we have to find a way to train them, like, on the spot, which is very, very difficult. But that was a great dog. He had great eyes, and it is tough working with animals around them. It is true. They don't listen as well as they listen better than some movie stars, but they don't listen better than most humans.
I won't tell anybody what happens to the dog because I don't want to spoil it.
Okay, but you can't stay now. You're scaring people from seeing the movie because people care much more about dogs than they do about human beings. The dog is central to the movie, and it's a great performance by a dog. And it's going to win best dog performance. There was a dog Oscar.
There you go, best canine.
Yeah.
What was it like shooting in Bulgaria? Like, where did you stay? That seems to me to be such a foreign place.
Yeah, well, Millennium, which is the studio that made this film, they are based in Bulgaria. And so we scouted Morocco first, which was, you know, a fantastic experience, and I've shot there before. But in the end, we wanted to be in a place where we were close to all our equipment, all the cameras and so on. Plus, it was easier to get weapons, fake and otherwise, into Bulgaria than it was to get it into Morocco.
Oh, I wonder why that is.
Well, the crews in Morocco are fantastic, by the way. They're also very good in Morocco, but they were just so brilliant there, and it's one of the best, if not the best, crews that I have worked with in the past 2 decades of making movies and television shows. Mm-hmm. You know, I just loved working with these guys, and they're so into it. They're, like, deeply, deeply into the making of movies. And this was an unusual movie for them to make because most of the movies they make are these fantastic popcorn escapades like the Expendables or the Rambo films or the Has Fallen movies. And now they're making, you know, a pretty gritty war film, you know, that's, you know, where realism is the way of the day. And so it presented them with a new challenge, and I think they really stepped up.
Oh, yeah. Talk about some of those shooting challenges, especially in those huge battle scenes.
Well, the biggest thing that we did was that we shot almost every sequence of the battle sequence in one continuous shot. The problem is that you really need to get everything right, because I can't do those scenes too many times. I can't do the shots too many times. I can, you know, usually you have like, I've heard Michael Bay have up to 15 cameras, you know, in an action sequence, and you only have to do the shot once.
Right.
But we can't have, we had two cameras, and in the case of shooting the scenes, we had one camera. So everything has to go smoothly. The exposure has to happen at the right time. The actor has to behave with proper military professionalism. If there are any lines, they have to be perfect. The stunt people have to be perfect. And so that presented a real challenge. But we were really well rehearsed. And as you can see, we managed to pull it off pretty well.
So you pulled that off in one fell swoop with no hitch at all?
Well, once in a while we'd have a hitch and we'd have to restart. But
What happened? Tell me the hitch. I'm dying to know.
Well, one hitch was we invited a photojournalist to set, and we had this one run that one of the characters makes, like a 2-minute sequence. And he's running and running and gunning, and the explosions are perfect, and the extras are like falling expertly, and my military guys are saying, yeah, you finally got it right, and then whoosh, he runs right past a photojournalist that's photographing on the set, and we had to cut and start all over again, and we reamed his ass, and then we had to start again, That's one example of things going may not go perfectly, you know. But generally speaking, the people who did their jobs did them right.
So he got good behind the scenes photos, even though he ruined it.
Oh, he got really behind the scenes photos. I hope that he wins a Pulitzer for it. Better, because he screwed up our shot.
What about consultants on the set? Did you have those? I'm sure you did.
Well, we had great military consultants on the set. A guy named Jericho Denman and Ray Mendoza, they were our principal consultants. But we also have people that were in the battle there, including the Medal of Honor recipient, Ty Carter, who took us exactly through the paces of what he went through. Plus a guy named Daniel Rodriguez, who was the hero of the mortar pit on that date, the Battle of Kandesh, October 3rd, 2009. He played himself. And so, so I would say that the battle itself is as accurate as we could possibly get it. We're really grateful for that. We'd be nowhere without these consultants.
Did you screen the film for survivors of these guys?
We did. We filmed it for survivors of the battle. We screened it for the families of the men who fell. And for Jake Tapper, who wrote the book, and we did it in Washington, D.C. last October. It was a very, very emotional time. And we were scared to death that we had screwed it up somehow and that they'd be upset, but that was not the case. They were extremely moved by the movie and grateful in a way.
Why did you think you screwed it up?
Well, you don't know. I mean, you're filming the deaths of their family members, and they could have been upset that I had their husbands cursing, or that he would never have done this. He knew he would never have done that. But none of that happened. They all really rallied around the movie, and they're still rallying around the film, and for that I'm very, very grateful about.
So you didn't actually talk to the families first, then?
Oh, we did.
Oh, you did?
Oh, no, of course.
Oh, okay.
I got to know them. I got to know them extremely well. But it doesn't mean, but they weren't on set with us, so, they weren't seeing the filming. So we don't know, there's not a lot of footage on these guys, so they're not going to replicate them. The actors are not going to replicate them perfectly. We have to go by some sort of instinct more than anything else. And in the end, they felt that they had the families felt that we had gotten the essence of their loved ones really well on that day. There were a lot of tears, but there were also a lot of hugs, and that felt very good. And you know what, Robin? They say that a person dies twice: once when they leave this earth, and the second when the last person ever speaks their name. And so these families, I think, they realize now that people will be speaking the names of their fallen long after we're gone from this earth.
Which I
must give them some comfort.
And of course, you dedicated the film at the end to your son, Hunter.
My son died while I was making the film. And, he was my guiding spirit on the film. I almost didn't want to make the movie, and my daughter told me, no, you're going to film, you're going to finish this damn movie, and because Hunter would be crushed if you didn't because of him. And so his photo was up there the whole time, Robin. And nobody was going to let him down, and nobody was going to let the families of the fallen down. Making this movie.
Yeah. So, was he a production assistant on the set? Like, did he help you?
No, my son. My son is an assistant editor. He's working in Los Angeles. So I was in Bulgaria when I heard that he was in the hospital, and I got there just in time to say goodbye to him.
That's great.
I saw him die in front of my eyes. But I'll tell you, it gives you clarity. It makes you understand that he was the same age as these men. And, you understand what the families went through. And I asked myself if I was making a film that at some point would show the passing of my son, how would I want to see it? And that's what you'll see when you come on screen. The movie is, it's exciting and it's very tense and it's very real. But I think it, in the end, it's also very moving. And for exactly that reason. Movies are tragic not because somebody dies, but because of the lost potential and lost future that their deaths brought. And I think that that's what we get across in the film.
Absolutely. And I would love you to do another one soon. I don't know what the world holds for us, but to you.
I would too, Robin. I truly would.
Do you have something that you would love to get out there that you're working on?
Well, we've got, I've made a couple of deals and one a big television project, the other a major studio film. But, they have to come together now and, God knows when that'll be. So I patiently wait. I continue to write the scripts and let's see where this takes us.
Well, I'm rooting for you, Rod.
Thank you, Robin. You're the best.
So are you. All right.
I really appreciate it. Cheers.
Cheers
to
you.
To you.
Take good care. Bye-bye.
Okay, cheers.
Always news.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.